This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Luke Hancock, Mike Norvell, potentially Todd McShay, all that's coming your way here in hour number three. 844-SAY-ACCN is your number. I know we spent a lot of time last hour talking football with Luke Hancock coming up here. We led off the show today talking about what an amazingly crazy night it was in ACC play. Four games decided by a grand total of 10 points, and they were great comebacks. Double overtime thrillers, and had a little bit of everything.
Yeah, all four games, four or less last night. Home team went 3-1. The standings, Louisville takes a game lead in first in the win column over Florida State, who has the week off before they're back in action this weekend. Duke is 6-2, and then you get the group at 5-3. Then that includes Virginia Tech and Syracuse, who join NC State that won at Virginia the other night. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves kind of in that same lane that we had, although, boy, it really looks like the middle of the stack is starting to bunch up again.
Well, you and I kidded around about trying to do accounting on Monday, and to be honest with you, as we said, you kind of see some separation a little bit, right? We know about the top three, and now the best of the glob, which we're kind of waiting on, kind of emerged this week, right? NC State, great win on the road at Virginia. The Hokies last night had to hold serve, and they did against North Carolina. And Syracuse has all of a sudden now won four straight. And, you know, those three have kind of emerged as the top of the glob, right? I mean, I think that's safe as we head into the weekend.
Absolutely. And I think you also saw, like last night, Georgia Tech challenging Louisville for the better part of 40 minutes, right? You saw Syracuse, Notre Dame. You saw road teams battle back. You saw road teams lead. Boston College had a double-figure lead on Pittsburgh in the first half. Pittsburgh comes back, wins the ball game. Murphy, a big shot at the end to provide the game winner. You saw Syracuse go get a win at Notre Dame last night. Irish came out blazing. Mooney had another double-double for them. Again, we're seeing a lot of competitive stuff here. We're, you know, I mean, we're still talking about home teams having a losing record in conference.
Well, if you think about last night, you know, Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, North Carolina.
Right.
Three teams that you would look at right now in the bottom tier of the league. All three of them had double-digit leads with a chance to have huge wins.
Yeah.
Didn't close, which you have to do. Keep talking about it. You got to figure out a way to close. But it just goes to show you the competitive nature of the league. Now, is it great? No, it's not great. There are no great teams in college hoops this year, but it doesn't mean you can't have unbelievably competitive games every night of the week, and that's exactly what you're getting right now.
Yeah, and the weekend schedule is going to be really interesting on ACC Network. Saturday at noon is Pitt and Syracuse. The primetime game, Notre Dame at Florida State with Mike Monaco and Dan Bonner. Then noon on Sunday is Virginia-Wake Forest. Those are just the games you're going to see on this network. Not to mention other ESPN platforms.
And you've got the Pitt-Syracuse game, and which becomes very interesting because, number one, of the history, right? Not necessarily from ACC history.
Just period.
But, right. They just, this is a long-standing game, and the fact that both are hot. First time in 2 years or 3 years that Pitt's had a winning streak in ACC play. They're 4-4 right now. They got a chance to kind of join that upper glob, if you will, with a win. Syracuse is red hot. They have played themselves into the conversation of the upper tier. And I know, not to say we've kind of told you so, but with this whole conglomerate between 4 and 15, somebody's got to get hot.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to start winning games. And so you've seen the early leaders on this thing with Virginia Tech and Syracuse and NC State doing their thing.
Yep. Luke Hancock joins us. He's good enough to spend time with us every week. What are you doing this morning? Oh, look at the old memorial pullover.
How's it going, guys?
Wow.
I've gotten more casual every time, right?
Yeah, it's good. You're fitting right in. I like the old memorial. At least you know good tracks when you see it. That's the way I feel about it.
I don't play good golf, but I at least can go to good courses.
That's key. That's always key. All right, last night we talked about how crazy the league was last night. Four games, all thrillers. Big leads, comebacks, double overtimes, guys making shots left and right. What was your take of Louisville since they're sitting now on top of the league?
I mean, college basketball is fun right now, isn't it?
It is.
I think Louisville has at least performed in the last week the way you expected them to all season. The questions for them were in the front court. I'm sorry, in the back court. And David Johnson at that Duke game was absolutely incredible. I think he showed off him being a big guard at 6'4" with long arms, what he was able to do when he's guarded by smaller defenders. And then you expect those guys to have kind of a letdown game last night against Georgia Tech. I kept telling people all day that this team is much better, Georgia Tech, than people think, and that they would have to come out and play well in order to get it done. They had a little bit bigger lead than it ended at 4 points, but they were able to hang on tight and get a huge win at home. When I played, we always talked about you have to take care of the games at home and try and steal as many as you can on the road. That's exactly what Louisville did. That's what the better teams in the conference are doing. You look at Florida State playing a team like Miami and going into overtime, like you said. This is how you got to win games sometimes. The ACC is pretty solid, and Georgia Tech is one of those teams when they're totally healthy that they can be actually pretty good. And they ran Duke to the wire. They've had a ton of close games with Notre Dame and a really close game with Pittsburgh early on. So this is a team that I thought would really overachieve throughout the season in Georgia Tech.
You know, Luke, it's interesting you mentioned protecting the home floor. And between Louisville, Florida State, and Duke, those schools combined have one loss on their home floor. And it is Florida State's victory at Louisville.
And the flip side is that Georgia Tech and Notre Dame are 0-for in league play at home.
At home.
And been incredibly close games. They just haven't figured out a way to win it.
Yeah, I mean, that part, it just seems weird that home teams don't have a winning record in conference play, yet you look at the top, and of the three we just mentioned, the Florida State win at Louisville is the only marker for any of those three teams at home.
Yeah, when you talk about why teams on the road are more successful this year, I don't have a great answer. I think it's just the parity among college basketball. I think it's teams getting a little fired up when they get in their home arena, maybe not taking care of the execution piece as well as they should. But you said it. It's just been absolutely crazy. The game that I circled early on, Pittsburgh beating Florida State, I think Florida State's one of the best teams in the country. It blew my mind, that stat, that they haven't been in the top five since the 70s. You know, I think Leonard Hamilton has it rolling down there. And in a year where there's no great teams, I think you got to watch out for a team like Florida State. They're an absolute mismatch problem, 1 through 4. A little bit different play at the five spot in Raekwon Gray this year, but they have 3 or 4 guys that can go off for 20 every night. They're incredibly suffocating on the defensive end because of their length and athleticism. They don't have necessarily one guy that I think is their best player or that's the alpha on that team. I think they go, you know, as Trent Forrest goes in a leadership aspect, but Devin Vassell and MJ Walker. And we had Leonard Hamilton on our show early on, and he said he thought Patrick Williams could lead them in scoring. And he hasn't come quite along that way, but I think the potential is there. Those teams can be really scary. When you look at home in a way, though, I think it's just the craziness of college basketball this season. It's been a lot of fun, but you got to go into games like Louisville did last night and really go business-like, take care of it, get it done. They won by 4 points, but Georgia Tech really controlled that game for most of the game. You saw Jose Alvarado out there playing the guitar, which I think he's getting kind of famous for, but they couldn't quite get it done. Louisville was able to hang on.
Hey, I want to ask you about the glob, as Pat calls it. And until we get some separation, we're going to keep calling it that. You've got NC State, Virginia Tech, Syracuse 5-3. Right behind them, one game back, Virginia, Clemson, Pitt. If you had to identify the two teams that you like the best out of that group, who would it be?
I do agree that it is the glob, but I really like NC State. I think when they're healthy, they have the depth to really compete with anybody in this conference. And when I look at the top three teams in Florida State, Louisville, and Duke, I think they all have depth. I think they all have toughness. I think they can score in a lot of different ways, and I think NC State can do that as well. Markell Johnson, really dynamic point guard. C.J. Bryce has been around Coach Keith since the Wilmington days, can do a little bit of everything. Jericho Helms has been a utility knife for those guys. And then the bigs. They've got DJ Funderburk and Manny Bates inside, and they're shot blockers. They can finish. So I think they have all the pieces to the puzzle. I think NC State is kind of that next team. And I think their win at Virginia, what was it, 2 nights ago, gutting it out at JPJ is just a huge win for them. I thought they would kind of separate themselves from the glob as that top team in that glob section. I think them, and I actually like Pittsburgh. When I see them play, I think they've got a strong backcourt. Trey McGowan's played really well against Louisville. If he's shooting the ball well, he's a tough matchup for anybody in this conference. I like Xavier Johnson a lot. If they can get a little bit more help from the inside, I think they thought Terrell Brown would be a little bit bit further along. But Eric Hamilton's starting now. I think if they can get a little bit more help there, Pitt's pretty tough. I think they can make a run.
Luke, we were talking about this earlier, but I thought it was important last night for Virginia Tech to, again, speaking of grinding it out, after the loss to Syracuse at home, here comes North Carolina. They're having a lousy year. You know about the injuries, all that stuff. But that's the kind of game you have to win if you're going to stay in that upper tier. Virginia Tech found a way to win that thing last night. That's a testament to not only the team, but also the coaching staff. That was an important W last night for the Hokies.
Huge, huge. As weird and tough as it is to say, Carolina is one of the worst teams in the ACC this year. I don't know if that'll be the case when Cole Anthony comes back. I thought that they were playing with confidence for a few minutes last night. I think they were up double digits at one point. And you're right. This is a huge win for Virginia Tech. I love what Tyrese Radford brings to this team in terms of toughness and confidence. Especially Landers Nolley really started out hot. I mean, he was shooting lights out. He was playing so well that you kind of were wondering how long a freshman could keep that up. And I think he's cooled off a little bit because teams have scouted him and they've really paid attention to him. But now the other pieces are starting to come alive. I don't know how far Virginia Tech can go because, this, you know, P.J. Horn is 6'5". Landers Nolley is 6'7", playing on the perimeter. You know, when you look at the top teams in this league, they got a lot of size. They got a lot of body down there. So I don't know how far Virginia Tech can go, but I've been impressed with their resiliency just with the makeup of players they have. I mean, they shoot the ball really well, and they're really consistent, not turning the ball over and executing on the offensive end.
We'll wrap it with this. You know daggone well how far they can go. They can go as far as they can shoot it. Hancock, you ought to know that, right? I mean,
I like shooting can take you far.
Hey, thanks as always. Appreciate the time, and I'm impressed. Old Memorial, that's strong.
Thank you very much. Like I said, I didn't play well there.
Even doesn't matter.
The last hole, though, I will say that.
Thank you. Yeah.
Luke, hey, Luke, stay unverified, my man. Hang in there with me.
I'm hanging tight, man. And no plans to change that one.
There you go.
Like your attitude.
Luke Hancock, our basketball analyst with ACC Network, joining us here on Packer and Durham. When we come back, more of your phone calls about football scheduling. Todd McShay still to come. Mike Norvell also on deck.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
There's still an outside shot at McShay if we can get him out of bed.
I don't think it's work. It's scouting. It's morning practice.
They're busy.
It's cold in Mobile, by the way.
They're busy down there as a senior bowl.
Man, those cats were bundled up when I saw them yesterday.
All right. You and I had an opportunity yesterday to get up with Florida State football coach Mike Norvell, who is going 2 trillion miles an hour, right? Needless to say, putting together staff, recruiting, everything else. And we had a chance to touch base with him and ask him point blank that we knew he's out there recruiting, but we got to start with some news of those grizzled vets coming back. Might have been his best recruiting job yet, but that was huge news for him and his staff.
No question about it. And you know, to be able to kind of get that that boost there right after signing day, you know, going through the bowl season, it's something that it means a lot to me. And you know, as we kind of kickstarted as a new staff and get a chance to sit down with every player, you know, get an understanding of what's important to them, you know, who they are, their journey of getting here, and to get guys like Marvin and Tamarian to come back and to be a part of this for this next season. I mean, it's just there's a lot of energy and excitement around Florida State football right now.
Coach, I told Mark when it happened, it's reminiscent. I remember when Mac Brown went to Texas and Ricky Williams elected to stay for one more year, and Mac Brown said our most important recruit was today. And in many ways, I guess, Big Marvin and Tamarian bring some of the leadership qualities, all the other little intangibles that could really benefit your first season in Tallahassee.
Well, I mean, their experience, their leadership, obviously the athletic ability that they have, but you know, a lot of things that we're doing is, you know, we're focused on the young man and development of the person. And you know, these guys are extraordinary players, but we believe that their brightest days are in front of them. So just like I told them as they were going through the decision making process, you know, I'm gonna give them everything I have each and every day. It's not just gonna be what they're doing on the field. It's gonna be in every aspect to prepare them to be successful whenever they do make that next step in their transition, their playing careers. But it's an exciting time. You know, we've been in school for a few weeks, so I've already got an opportunity to really jump in with these guys and coach them. And You know, I'll tell you that, you know, collectively as a football team, this is a team that's hungry for improvement. And that's something that, you know, they really embrace the change. And, you know, there are a lot of changes, but I'm excited about what I'm seeing so far.
Coach, when you joined us the first time, I think you were just announced as the head coach, and about 20 minutes later, you're hanging out with us in the basement. I know you're going 100 miles an hour, but does it feel like it's slowed down just a little bit since the last time we spoke?
Not even a little bit. We're ripping and running. There's a lot of things. Always something that that we're doing, trying to make sure we're addressing every aspect of the program. You know, we have the second signing day is coming up. You're here in February. We're back on the road recruiting. You know, not only to wrap up a few of the spots that we're looking to fill here at this time, but you know, trying to build relationships for the future classes, the high school head coaches, you know, here out throughout the region, and you know, everything's going really well. You know, like I said, it's just a lot of excitement.
Coach, I do want to ask you real quick about your staff, because I know that installation came, some of it very quick, and then there was more of a pragmatic approach, I think, on some of these other spots. But I know Kenny Dillingham and Adam Fuller were important hires for you, and John Papuchis has got experience in this league. How valuable is that as you start to come together for your first spring here?
No, I think it's huge, and to be able to get Adam and Kenny in, you know, pretty much immediately, for they were there for the first official visit weekend. You know, it really allowed some of these recruits and our current players to get a sense to know who they are. And you know, all we've done is truly try to open up our hearts, you know, express the vision of where we're looking to go, and then it's all about building relationships. And you know, Adam, Kenny, JP, you know, all those guys, they are phenomenal coaches. They know the X's and O's, but what separates them are the men that they are, and the hearts that they have for young men and their development. And you know, we've tried to continue to address that with every position coach that we have on this on this staff, and you know, guys like Odell Hagans and Ron Dugans that have played and put that Seminole helmet on, you know, just for them to kind of help, you know, bridge the gap of the great traditions that we have a part of our program, but also, you know, the excitement that they have about pushing forward to the future. And so it's been a remarkable experience, and we definitely have a great group that are leading these young men.
You had a little staff bonding, at the Tucker Center a couple of weeks ago. The football staff was in the end zone for the Florida State Virginia basketball game. I know they got their eyes full that night of a tight ACC battle, huh?
No, no question. And, you know, unfortunately, I wasn't able to be there. I had an awards banquet that I was at, but the rest of the staff was able to be there and show the support to Coach Ham and the basketball team. And what an amazing game, incredible experience. I mean, the atmosphere was electric, and it was always great to see the Noles get a win there in prime time.
Coach, of the 1,000 things on your to-do list, let me add one more, just what you need from me. We unveiled the ACC schedule yesterday. There is no joke with your schedule from a non-conference perspective when you start talking about West Virginia as an opener, traveling across country to Boise State, always a tough place to play on the blue, not to mention the Gators at the end of the year. Have you spent any time whatsoever worrying about the schedule, much less the opener against West Virginia?
And to be honest with you, we're focused on today, and just that's going to be our approach. And I know it's kind of a cliche statement, but it's something that will be reality. It's going to be something that you know, every single day, if we can focus on our improvement and working to be the best version of ourselves. You know, yes, this is year one. Yes, there's a lot of transition, but that's gonna be a consistent mindset that we're gonna try to have as our approach, and I believe that's what helped leads to success. We can't control what any one of those other programs are doing. We can definitely control what the Noel family is doing and how we work, how we prepare. And you know, I believe in the kids that we have, the ones that we're recruiting, and definitely the staff that we've been able to put together. So I'm looking forward to it. But we're definitely not getting too far ahead of ourselves or worrying about any of those other things.
Coach, let me ask you, the February signing period in the last couple of years has kind of become just an afterthought because of December and what December's become. However, I'm curious, is there maybe a bit more value this particular year for you in February as opposed to the the quick turnaround, the blazing turnaround that must have been in December?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, any time that you have an opportunity to add, young men into your roster, I mean, those are, every one of those decisions are critical. The impact that they can make. I mean, we are coming in and we had some flexibility within our roster. You know, there's some needs that we have, and we're looking to address those needs. I'm excited about where we are, but there's still a great potential for a couple more additions. And then we'll continue on throughout this off season, and even moving forward, with making sure we're making the right choices, bringing bringing student athletes that are right fit and that are excited about to be a part of this Seminole family. That's always going to be our focus of hitting that standard for everyone that we're bringing in.
Coach, have you actually opened up every one of your suitcases? I mean, you're going 2,000 miles an hour with 8,000 things to do. Do you even know, like, what the suitcase with the shoes or the dop kit? Do you have any idea what's going on there?
No, I've still got a couple of unopened bags. I'm still looking at a couple of things. I might need to slow down and actually do that. It was kind of funny last week. I had a suit that I was going to wear and was, waited till, kind of last moment to get ready and, open up my suit. I saw a really nice jacket, but no pants. So, I mean, it was pants might still be in Memphis somewhere, but it's all right. We move forward.
Hey, we always say, Coach, it's about, this too. You gotta have a really good partner in life to be able to pull off what you guys are doing. I mean, we know that. And, I know you and your family are excited to be in Tallahassee, but there is chaos, I'm sure, at times.
It's pretty comical. Maria's just an incredible woman. My heart goes out to her. Some of the things that she's having to do. We're buying a house, selling a house, and we got a 5-year-old that's ripping and running. And so, good Lord's watching over us, and definitely watch over me with an incredible family.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, have a great one.
Mike Norvell. What's up? What's down? What's going on? I know this much, though, as you pointed out. Those two guys that decided, you know what? College life is pretty good. That is really, really going to help. Not only on the field, maybe even more importantly, in that locker room.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that, in fact, it's going to be reflected in the way that the Seminoles are thought of in 2022, Pac. I mean, those two guys coming back are playmakers for, what that team can ultimately become, especially on defense. When you think about Wilson being back, I mean, Chris Lowe, by the way, has just released his preseason way too early All-America list.
Yeah.
Three of the four defensive linemen are ACC guys.
What that?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's plenty of thunder, and Marvin Wilson's a big part of that for Florida State.
Florida State, West Virginia, the Bobby Bowden Invitational to start things off in Atlanta.
Yeah.
We keep talking about important games. I know we're going to take more phone calls and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But Florida State fans are going to be excited about this one, right? It's kind of got the same kind of vibe with Willie Taggart's coming to town. You want to see how that was going to go? We know how that worked out, right?
Yeah.
But Mike Norvell is going to roll into town. And that non-conference schedule, I already talked about it. West Virginia at Boise State and Florida at the end. That's a no joke.
Yeah.
Non-conference lineup, not to mention what you got to play in the league. But a really important game. And Coach Brown's done a really nice job at West Virginia. He had 1 year under his belt. This is year two for him up in Morgantown.
Yeah, Neil done a good job.
He's a good coach. Mm-hmm. Those two dudes getting after it in the first game, that's a good football game. I'm excited about that first one.
It's also, by the way, a sidebar to all that, it's kind of a note of young coaches of the next decade.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Neil Brown, I thought, did an amazing job at Troy.
Yeah.
And I didn't think they were going to be very good last year. They won some games they weren't supposed to, including NC State.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
All of a sudden they could run the football and NC State couldn't tackle anybody. Neil Brown can coach.
Yep.
So that is a really intriguing game. I think Florida State fans are excited.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned, that's a school that doesn't have to talk about one of these days we're going to win a national championship. No.
Yep.
They've won Heismans. They've won national championships, and if they get their A game together, get it together, you can win as big as you want at Florida State.
Yep.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
We were trying to get Todd McShay, but apparently still sound asleep down in Mobile.
All right. Carlos in Kentucky kicks off the caller segment here. Carlos, good morning.
Pleasant good morning, Mr. Packer, Mr. Durham. How you guys doing this morning?
Okay. We're fine. Excellent. Thanks, sir.
I was listening and I'm watching the show this morning. Great show, by the way. I just wanted to piggyback on a couple of things. I know you guys have a very short time period, but just to touch on what Lee from North Carolina was talking about earlier in regards to the college football brand with them doing Friday night games, I think is a bonus and a plus for the NCAA, especially dealing with the schools that are going to be on that time to use it as a recruiting tool. And there was some question in regards to the high school situation as far as it hurting high school football. Well, and I want you guys' input on this. To me, I've seen lately a lot of Saturday high school games that are taking place, and they've been successful. And I spent in a military down in Texas at Fort Hood, and on Friday nights, I've gone to some of the high school football games, whereas they've had 20 to 40,000 people in a stadium for high school football games. So I don't really think, even though that one hand washes the other in regards to the NFL with college brand and the same thing with the high school brand from college football, I don't think that it's going to hurt. I think this is going to be a plus all the way around because, like you guys said, and just piggyback off you what you were talking about, it's all about revenue and what's going to be brought into that situation. As far as, you know, my U of L Cardinals and the football situation is with them, I predicted this year, I talked to Mr. Packer earlier back in November, that I predicted the Cardinals to win 7 games this year. And this, of course, before the debacle they played against Kentucky. But I really think that 8 games, and I know it's 8 games, that's only one game, but 8 games realistically in regards to the schedule of what they have coming back from a regular season perspective is what, you know, is achievable for this team. And looking at the roster, because they're losing a lot of seniors. So, sure. You know, I want to get your input in regards to the brand for the NCAA. Oh, and by the way, kudos to Luke Hancock. Good show. We are so proud of him back here for not only his accomplishments on the court and what he did for the University of Louisville, but off court and, of course, dealing with the legal situation and him protecting the brand of University of Louisville. So I'm going to get off here and let you guys, you know, kind of hit me up and let me know what's going on as far as what you think about the football brand and the upcoming season, which I think is going to be phenomenal. We got a great game coming up with North Carolina State that I really feel that is going to be a staple game in regards to deciding what's going to happen with both teams as far as the NCAA football season coming up. And kudos to Coach Norville. I mean, he's doing a great job down in Florida State. It's great to see that brand back in one of the college blue bloods for the NCAA.
Thank you, Carlos. Right.
Thanks, Carlos.
Where would you like to start? You know, I'll just say this again with the
high
school
football. And
then the earth cooled. I'll just say this again with the high school football deal. You just need to be cognizant and understand that those kids need their day and or night.
Yeah.
I mean, it's important. Yeah.
No matter what day or however your state or area does it.
Right. And
it's
everybody's different
everywhere.
Everybody's different. So yeah. It's not just everybody plays high school football on Friday nights. That is not true.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that, you know, it's important for high school football to thrive because when it does, it's better for college football. And when college football rocks, guess what? Sundays help too. So it all kind of works hand in hand. And when you start going over to the other side and taking a little bit from here, Just be careful with that one.
Yeah. Bill in South Carolina, you're next with Packer and Durham.
Hey, hello, gents. First-time caller. Love your show. And I'm a retired naval aviator from New England, and I've been down south here for about 5 years, and I've turned into a massive football junkie with one daughter down in Florida and the other one out of Clemson. You know, one point I have to make is, you know, a lot of kids out there at Clemson and people around here are kind of bummed out since Clemson lost, and I said, you know, hey, two championships in 4 years, a lot of schools don't even come close to that. And, you know, Clemson ran into a juggernaut in LSU this year. It was like the perfect storm. Two quick questions I have. With ETN coming back, which I think is great for the university, great for him. What do you think his chances are being high up there in the Heisman voting is question number one. And question number two, I had numerous friends watch the game and had the same comment that I did during the halftime interview with Dabo. He seemed kind of down and not animated and fired up like he was, and I thought that was kind of strange. So I appreciate your comments and enjoy your show.
Thank you, Bill.
I didn't see the halftime interview. I can't speak to it.
Well, the first thing I'd like to say is thank you for your service to the country.
Absolutely.
That's the first thing.
No question.
And yeah, LSU, terrific. Tip of the hat. They were great. They earned it. They're the champs. And now everybody's going to go chase them, right? Dabo might have been bummed out with the fact that he just saw a touchdown, touchdown, touchdown to end the half.
Right.
Where you go from up 10 to down 11. So that would be a kind of a natural, hey, we got some work to do. But that's that. ETN being back, humongous for Clemson, right? Huge.
Right.
Could he be in the Heisman conversation? Without question. But to be in that conversation, you need more than 15 touches in the game. Just saying.
Yeah.
I'm not a football coach. Clemson's coaching staff's done a pretty good job. Been nothing short of sensational
right.
and fantastic. They'll figure all that stuff out. But can he be in the hunt? There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I would say that he would be on the short list quick, as they say. Jeremy in North Carolina. Next on the show. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
I just want to say I agree with Packer on the Louisville-NC State game. That is definitely the most important game on the schedule for us. I agree that after that horrible season that we had last year. Yes,
okay.
Us having a horrible season last year, if we lose to Louisville, I don't see us having a chance to win the Atlantic at all. So I agree with Packer on that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple to follow, though. I mean, I know there are some that disagree with that already. And I'm like, hey, you know what? You're entitled. Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Sure.
But if NC State fans want to win a championship, if you're going to be a factor in the Atlantic, you better win that first one. Because as good as Clemson is, and you got to go to Death Valley, you can ill afford a stub the toe moment before you even get to Mississippi State, who really, to be honest with you, is just a whatever kind of team. I mean, it's... It's cool that it's an SEC team coming to Raleigh, but other than that, Louisville's better than Mississippi State. That's going to be a tougher game on the road against a better team.
Yeah.
And it's one in your league.
And it'll be hot.
Oh, man, come on. To me, this is a no-brainer.
It'll be 700 million degrees.
It's all right. It's going to be hot for everybody.
Hank in Georgia is next. Hi, Hank. Good morning.
Hi, guys. I'm a Clemson alumni down here in Georgia, and like you, I'm thrilled about the non-conference schedules being tougher in ACC. But, you know, I was a little alarmed because, you know, you kind of go into your myopic about each team, and some of the conference games wound up being more important than the out-of-conference games. And, you know, I don't disagree with you in some of your analysis, but, you know, Wes, back me up here. I mean, if NC State loses to Mississippi State, if Georgia Tech loses to Georgia, if Carolina loses to Auburn, it's not going to very much matter who finishes second, third, and fourth in the ACC. We've got to win those out-of-conference games.
I think the first 4 weeks, we identified seven games yesterday in the first 4 weeks, Hank, that I think are critical, and Pact alluded to this yesterday, critical to the rhetoric. In terms of you want to have your story told the rest of the year, you need to be successful in those first seven games.
We put 10 non-conference games up, and you
totally.
Said, Pac, how many do we need to win here? And we, meaning the ACC. And I mm-hmm. said, you better not be 1-9 or 2-8.
Correct.
If you want to change the narrative, you better split 5-5, mm-hmm. if not better. I mean, and if you look at that and go, well, I don't think we win five, well, then you know what? You're going to get more of the same that who else other than Clemson can stand up and play a top 20.
And that's
what this is all about.
That's the real case.
Right. I mean, if you're Florida State, Miami, Virginia Tech, Louisville, NC State, Virginia, anybody who's in the mood, Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
hey, the object is to become a top 25, top 20 program. You do that, the league's going to be just fine.
I'll give you an example. It was really important last year, at least for about half the season, that North Carolina beat South Carolina and Charlotte the first week.
No question.
Problem was there wasn't enough with them.
Right.
I mean, you know. That's the kind of thing the ACC has to find itself in again this year.
The ACC, if I'm not mistaken, I think we used this line in New Orleans. At the end of the season, the final AP top 25.
Hmm.
right? Yeah. The ACC had a grand total of one win against the final AP Top 25, and that was Clemson beating Ohio State.
Yep.
That cannot be a conversation piece 365 days from now. We cannot be sitting here talking about, well, man, the league's getting better in football. Well, you know, the only way the league gets better in football is to beat people of note.
Yeah. It's a two-pronged attack,
too. It's
that
simple.
But it's a two-pronged attack. You have to have contenders to go behind the team that is one of the elite teams. And the ACC, fortunately, has an elite team because the Pac-12 doesn't. Right? I mean,
Oregon and Utah are good. And,
but
they've got the
Clemson.
Same. No, right. They've got the same problem in a sense that, you know, they may talk about depth, da, da, da. But, you know, the national narrative is not going to change
right.
until Oregon beats Auburn.
That's it.
North Carolina beats Auburn. You know, these are the kind of games that you've got to take advantage of. The good news for the ACC is they have done the best job in terms of scheduling games of note versus any other Power 5 league.
That's right.
So it's given you the opportunity to showcase what your teams can do. Now you got to walk through the door. That's going to be the key.
Most number of games against non-conference Power 5 teams of any Power 5 conference in the country.
So the league has stepped up from a scheduling standpoint. Now the league needs to step up from a scoreboard standpoint.
All right. When we come back, we close this show. My man last night was in high society Charlotte doing things that kings do.
Well, that may be true.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Final segment in the Power Hour. Mark Packer, Wes Durham. Thanks again to all of our guests. Great job by everybody back in Bristol.
Sure.
You good with that?
Oh, yeah. Everybody did a great job.
All right.
I mean, Debbie Antonelli, Mike Norvell, Luke Hancock. Calls were fantastic.
Brianna, Josh, Drew. Hezzy in the radio booth. Cosmo in the back room. Mike, Lewis, John, back row. Otto drinking all more Stellas. He drinks one Stella per hour on the show. Got to restock the refrigerator.
We were talking about the top three teams in the ACC and their records at home. I said, of course, that Louisville had lost to Florida State at the Yum Center. I failed to mention, of course, that Louisville had beaten Duke at Cameron Pack.
Again, I asked you about your math. What'd you say to me? What'd you say?
Feel good about it.
Yeah, and?
Well, in this one, this bigger case, I was wrong. And I was reminded by one of our friends on Twitter about it. 9-2. The top three schools are 9-2 at home in conference play.
We good?
So far.
That's a final answer, Alex? Is that what we're going
That's
with?
Where we're going.
All right.
On this show tomorrow,
the coach,
Jeff Collins, will be here. And if you follow any kind of the movement of Jeff Collins this time of year, won't be any doubt he'll be here. Do you know why? Because yesterday he worked Georgia. I mean, I don't know why he just kind of pop it up here in the helicopter as far as I'm concerned.
I told you. The Amy Rosenfeld.
Heliport. Look at this.
See, ours is a lot nicer.
South Paulding High School yesterday.
Ours is nicer than that.
Yeah. Troop County yesterday. Carrollton yesterday. Jeff Collins was on the tour.
Well, if he wants to bring it up here to the Queen City, we got room.
He'll put it right there?
We can put it right there.
He'll be stunned. He'll call and ask.
Lay up. We look forward to having Coach here, though.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll have a good time.
And by the way, get a good look at Chester because tomorrow, you know, Amy Packer runs the show here.
No doubt,
right? Mrs. P wants Chester groomed. I like Chester shaggy for the winter.
It's not happening.
So big boy's over there sound asleep, so get a good look at Chester. He will not be with us tomorrow.
Is Fuller going too?
No, Fuller's hanging with you, but he's hanging with Buddy West tomorrow.
Okay.
And Coach Collins.
You bet. See how that goes.
Be great.
Coach Collins will be out in the back throwing the ball.
No doubt. There's no question.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
All right. Last night, my man went on a field trip.
My wife, God bless her, got me a wine tasting class. And I'm not a big wine drinker.
Mm-hmm.
Socially, there you go. This was the scene last night.
Jeez.
All right. and it was a
peanut. What was the rest of the table drinking?
The exact same thing. So we had six samples of Pinot last night.
Shorthand you a little bit on the pores, didn't he?
Well, there's a reason for that, Wes. Alcohol content.
Oh.
Body complexity, as I found out and learned about last night. And so we had a sommelier, master sommelier, wine expert breaking this down.
Yeah.
Now, I really am curious because I am fascinated how wines are made. We went to Italy 2 years ago and fell in love with Tuscany and went to a couple of vineyards.
Going back to Europe, apparently, on your tour.
I hope one of these days we could go back. Yeah. But we had so much fun that Amy and I both agreed that we should learn more about wine. So fast forward the clock. We do this thing last night. And so there's like, I don't know, four or five other couples in there. And there's one other guy that shows up by himself who sits beside me. And so our wine expert, Master Sommelier.
I love the music.
Well, I mean, it is French wine. Now, keep in mind with the Pinots, Wes, as I learned, we've got the regions in France. Here in the States, you can go up to Oregon,
right.
Santa Barbara, Napa, and of course, do not forget about New Zealand, as I learned last night.
Sure. Argentina.
No.
Pinots.
Pinots.
Yes.
Reds, right? So we were learning all about this last night, and we're learning how to, you know, you look up in the light and you do this thing and you, I mean, you smell it and all that. I know barbecue, right? I can give you the difference between North Carolina, East and West. I can give you mustard base in South Carolina. I can tell you about the Texas brisket and the beef. I can take you to Memphis with a dry rub. I can take you out to Kansas City, anything with barbecue. But so are my man sitting there going, all right, I want you guys to sniff the wine. So I'm doing all this nonsense. I don't know the difference between up and down. Now you want to taste it this way. We're going through the whole routine. So we go through all those six glasses. Right? The first glass, we're going through the whole routine. And my man, the sommelier, says to me.
Does your dog bite?
You know, no, he asks everybody, what do you guys smell? I tell you what I smell. Grapes. That's what I smell. No. The sophisticated palate, my man next to beside me, starts rattling off, I smell fennel.
Excuse me?
Fennel. I'm
fennel.
Thinking, fennel? Dude, what are we talking about?
What are we talking about?
This thing should have been on television last night. It was so fantastic. But I had no earthly idea what was going on. I mean, no idea. And here comes my wife, Mrs. P, who spent some time in Spain and loves wine. My wife starts doing this. Oh, I taste a little tobacco, kind of a smokiness. I'm looking around like, who is this woman? Who is this woman? Oh, yes, I smell a little, that could be a little boysenberry mixed in with.
You said
a little,
that?
Not me, Amy Packer saying this. So I got Mrs.
How'd your guy next to you go?
Oh, my guy, he's already working like the fourth glass, and I'm sitting there going, man, what do you eat with this, right? Can you eat a steak with this? It was a total disaster. But it was so much fun. So that's why I missed Zion last night. But I didn't miss the ACC action. Four great games. All go great with Pinot, Wes Durham. Next time, because you're kind of a sophisticated palate, you and Vicky would have fit in last night. You would have been making fun of me more so than you normally do. I should have said, the one guy beside me says this, oh, this is such an incredible.
These people know
balance.
Who you were. Did they know they were dealing with a local celebrity?
I don't care about all that.
Star of ACC
goes,
Network.
This has got great Sirius complexity XM. And balance. I got so tired of the guy says, well, what did y'all think about wine number four? I said, it stinks. I thought my man was going to lose it beside me last night.
Stinks. Tomorrow on this show, Jeff Collins. Notre Dame women's coach Muffet McGraw.
Oh, nice.
And plenty more as we roll out of Friday. This has been Show 105.
Does your dog bite?
Thanks to everybody involved.
It's not my dog.
I guess you won't be invited to any more wine tastings.
I'm going to. Hey, no, I'd love to go back.
No, I don't think so.
Wee-wee.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, Sirius XM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.